Outreach is more than hosting community events and hoping that they stick. Effective outreach helps people move from congregational visitors to committed members and disciples of Jesus. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for July is Meaningful Outreach, an Essential Guide for Churches. Find out more about this new resource by calling Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040 or browse before you buy at issuesetc.org. Meaningful Outreach, the Issues Etc. Book of the Month.
Any good judge would realize that under the logic of Dobbs, which said there's no right to abortion anywhere in the Constitution, and essentially said states can legislate on this now, no good judge could look at the law and say, yes, Congress has the constitutional authority to create a right to abortion.
The danger, of course, is that when we start trying to say, oh, this is God judging so-and-so or judging this activity, we don't get to know that. God doesn't make us privy to his reasons for doing things. But is it absolutely possible that bad things happen because of God's just wrath? Absolutely.
If the Bible is cast off, the church will wither and die, spiritual starvation. And we're seeing a lot of that, especially in the church bodies in North America that flat out reject the Bible as God's word.
Repentance comes along in the work of the Holy Spirit to show us first our own sinfulness and then the love of God for us, which again predated any repentance or any forgiveness or even any awareness of our own sin.
Overweight, middle-aged Arizona hikers dealing with their fourth round of COVID, love issues, etc.
Before he was Father Abraham, he was Abram, probably a pagan. But what he did not know before God called him to leave his home and his family and to go a place, well, God did not tell him where he was sending him. What he did not know was that he was in the line of a promise that God was determined to keep, a promise that God had made generations before, and he is going to use Abraham to keep that promise. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. coming to you live on this Tuesday, July the 19th. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We're going to spend some time with Pastor Tom Baker of Law and Gospel teaching a Sunday school lesson on the call of Abram in Genesis chapter 12. Katie Faust joins us to talk about pro-life tactics in defense of natural marriage. We'll spend some time with Dr. Kevin Golden. The creation accounts in Genesis will be our subject. And then Dr. John Bombaro joins us to discuss the Christian imagination. Joining us to teach a Sunday school lesson today, the call of Abram in Genesis chapter 12, Pastor Tom Baker, host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. For almost 30 years, he met monthly to prepare his Sunday school teachers for the classroom. Tom, welcome back.
Thank you.
Why did God command Abram to leave his country and his family?
Well, in Genesis 12, he says that he goes to Abraham, "Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you." And the reason is he's going to give three promises. "I will make of you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great. And I will bless those who bless you. And him who dishonors you, I will curse. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." Now, a question may arise. Who is this Abraham? Well, if you take a look at the genealogies from Adam and Eve, Adam and Eve had Cain, Abel, Seth, S-E-T-H. And it is through the line of Seth that you get, about eight families later, the name of Noah. And Noah, of course, the whole world was destroyed, and he had three sons, Ham, Shem, and Japheth. Shem is the one who is in the line to Abraham. You go down about eight families to a descendant of Shem named Terah, T-E-R-A-H. And he had a son. Well, he had actually three children, Abram, Nahor, and Haran. So God is keeping the line from Adam and Eve, through Noah, through Terah, to Abraham, who of course then had Isaac, leading to Esau, Jacob, Israel, and finally to our Savior Jesus Christ. So the Lord was really keeping his promise that he made to Adam and Eve, that through her seed would come a Savior. And that took place after Noah, and his descendant was Terah, who had Abram as one of his children.
What promise does God make first there to Abraham in that call?
The first promise he makes is that he will make of him a great nation, and he will also bless and make his name great and bless those who honor him. So this is a way in which God has explained to Abraham that as he moves to this new land, which will be the location for the promised people of God, and through them will come the Savior. And so therefore, God is keeping his promise to Adam and Eve, and he makes it very clear to Abraham, who also runs according to the seed of Adam and Eve.
Why is it important to note that the book of Hebrews tells us that Abram obeyed God by faith?
It's important that he believed by faith, because that is a gift of the Holy Spirit. In fact, it's in Hebrews chapter 11. By faith, verse 8, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he went to live in the land of promise. So faith means he believed the promises of God. And as in a foreign land, he lived in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise. Why did he do that? Because on the basis of God's promise, verse 10 says, "For he was looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God." And of course, that is the Holy Christian Church. So it's very clear here that the book of Hebrews says that through faith, Abraham believed the promises of God, and he was looking forward to the new kingdom that God would construct.
When Abraham enters the land, the Canaanites are already living there. What does that mean?
Well, if you go back to Noah, he had three children. Shem, we've already mentioned, who goes down to Terah, who has a son named Abram or Abraham. And Japheth was another one. But the third son was named Ham, and it is found in Genesis chapter 10 that Ham became the descendant or the ancestor of the Canaanites. And verse 19 says, "The territory of the Canaanites extended from Sidon in one direction and in the direction of Sodom, Gomorrah, and other cities." And then it says in verse 20, Genesis 10, "These are the sons of Ham by their clans, their languages, their lands, and their nations." So the Canaanites were already living in the land of Canaan, but they were not faithful to God. In fact, they had other idols, and we know all the problems that the Israelites had with the Canaanites.
After Abraham enters the land, what does God tell him?
After Abraham gets into the land, the Lord appeared to him, and this is verse 7 of chapter 12, "To your offspring I will give this land." So the land of Canaan is the promise. And we see that those who followed Abraham believed that promise. In fact, remember when Joseph, he was carried into Egypt because his brothers betrayed him, but then he became the main assistant to Pharaoh, and he helped a nation that could have starved to death by making sure there were enough crops saved for so many years to feed people after the famine came. Well, when he died, he said he wanted to be put in a box, but not be buried until they returned to Canaan. Now, that occurred 400 years later, after the Israelites had been made slaves by another Pharaoh who didn't know all the background of Joseph and the Israelites. And so that's what happened. He was carried to Canaan in that box, that coffin. And so there is where the people were believing the promise that the land of Canaan would become their land.
So why did Abraham then build an altar?
You build an altar for the same reason that, and this was pretty good, it was done by the Sunday school material by CPH, that the teacher, the Sunday school teacher, should take a little trip with the Sunday school students throughout the church, if possible, and show them the baptismal font, the pulpit, but also the altar, which reminds us that churches build altars because they want to worship God. And it is at the altar, particularly from a Lutheran point of view, that God appears to us. He appears to us under the forms of bread and wine in the Holy Supper of our Lord. And therefore, the altar is because God is appearing to us during the worship service. And that's why the Bible is very clear that we should not forsake the assembling of ourselves together, but on a regular basis, come to hear God's word and understand how God interprets reality, morality, and our way of living. And therefore, we build altars the same reason that Abraham did, because God had appeared to him when he got into the land.
Pastor Tom Baker is our guest. He hosts a radio show called Law and Gospel. We're teaching a Sunday school lesson with him on the call of Abram in Genesis chapter 12. What does it mean that Abraham called on the name of the Lord?
Now pay close attention, little children. It's somebody you ought to know. Yeah, it's all about a man that walked on earth nearly 2,000 years ago.
This week on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, we continue our journey through the Apocalypse, the book of Revelation, with three angels, the blessed dead, winepress of wrath, song of Moses and the Lamb, and heavenly procession. Join me, Pastor Will Whedon, for The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, your daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study on demand. Listen at thewordendures.org or your favorite podcast provider.
Did you know that many LCMS military personnel and their families are unable to receive Word and Sacrament ministry due to the lack of LCMS chaplains? Ministry to the Armed Forces is looking for pastors who will answer the call to serve as a chaplain to provide Word and Sacrament ministry to the men and women who selflessly serve our nation. Find out more about this exciting ministry by contacting me, Chaplain Craig Mueller, at lcmschaps@lcms.org. That is lcmschaps@lcms.org.
From the time of Moses, 3,500 years ago, the Church has been adorning her sacred spaces at the instruction of the Lord. Ad Crucem seeks to continue this tradition to the best of our ability as we create beautiful things to point us to Christ crucified for sinners. See our posters, greeting cards, artwork, and banners, each proclaiming the good work that our Lord has done for us. Visit adcrucem.com. That's ADCRUCEM.com.
Mount Zion Lutheran Church in Greenfield, Wisconsin is a congregation of those gathered by the Spirit of the Lord around His saving Word and sacraments. At the center of our life together is the divine service of the risen Jesus, the Lamb of God who was slain, who takes away the sin of the world. If you are in the Milwaukee area, we invite you to share with us in our Lord's gifts of forgiveness and new life. Services are on Saturdays at 5 p.m. and Sundays at 9 a.m. For more information, visit our website at MountZionGreenfield.org.
A mobile Lutheran Bible study. You're listening to Issues Etc.
You may be one of those pastors who need to be refreshed and refueled because of your parish ministry.
Issues Etc. regular guest, Dr. Charles Geeshan.
Concordia Theological Seminary has a wonderful program, not only in continuing education during the summer, but in an advanced study program called the Doctor of Ministry. And it's a very practical program because it focuses on congregational ministry. It incorporates biblical theology with the ministry of the congregation. It's also very accessible for pastors, and it's also affordable. You can major in pastoral care and leadership, teaching and preaching, or mission and culture. And we pray that pastors will take advantage of this program.
Learn more about the Doctorate of Ministry program at ctsfw.edu or by calling 1-800-481-2155, Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We are teaching a Sunday school lesson with Pastor Tom Baker on the call of Abraham. Tom, what does it mean that Abraham called on the name of the Lord?
To call on the name of the Lord means to give a call to God Himself, which means you are in a right relationship with God. So when you build an altar to the Lord and you call upon the name of the Lord, what you are doing is relying on the Lord to take care of all your problems. That's why the commandments are very important. And a lot of people may break the commandment about not taking the name of the Lord their God in vain because they don't believe the promises that all things will work together for their good. And so it's important that pastors indicate that, yes, we should call on the name of the Lord, but we should not do it in a way where we use the name for a purpose that God did not intend. That's what it means to call upon Him in vain. To call upon Him properly is to use His name to praise Him, to thank Him, to worship Him, and many other reasons, as we have needs, knowing that God will supply answers to our needs that are always for our best. And that's a point that the Sunday school teachers need to make with the Sunday school students.
How does God in time fulfill the promises that He had made to Abraham?
Well, in time, of course, Abraham has descendants that end up going to Egypt because they are hungry due to the famine. And that's, of course, dealing with Isaac, Esau, Jacob, and the sons. And when they get there, they meet Joseph, who gives them a place to stay in Egypt. But after a few hundred years, they are made slaves by the new Pharaoh, and therefore they really look forward to their escape from Egypt. And we all know what happens with the Passover, with the crossing of the Red Sea, going into the land of Canaan. But even though they reject to go into the land of Canaan at first, God has them stay in the wilderness for 38 more years, until those who were old enough to have gone into the land of Canaan die, and only their descendants, their sons and their daughters, are able to go. And so that is the way that God fulfills His promises to Abraham. that Canaan will be their land. And of course, that's where Israel stays and worships the Lord God at the city of Jerusalem.
How is that promise then further fulfilled in the coming of Jesus Christ?
It's further fulfilled because in Israel, and probably one of the most important books, is the book of Ruth. She has a mother-in-law named Naomi, and Ruth is married to one of her sons, but both sons end up dying, so Ruth doesn't have anyone, and she thinks she's worthless. She returns to Israel, and as Ruth is picking up grain that's left by farmers on the side for the poor, Boaz sees her. He ends up marrying her, and they have a child who becomes the grandfather of David. David, of course, becomes king of Israel, and it is through David, again, that the seed of Jesus continues, so that Jesus says to the Pharisees that before David was, I am. And of course, he's a child of David in his humiliation, but in his divinity, he existed from before the creation of the world. And that's why Jesus becomes the answer to this Sunday school lesson, why Abraham was asked to go to the land of Canaan as God was preparing the land for his chosen people.
Finally, what is the law and gospel of this lesson?
The law and gospel of this lesson, and this is really a good lesson for Sunday school teachers to hear and to teach. We often do not trust God to lead us and do what he promises. Right recently, we had seminarians assigned to congregations, and some of them were wondering, why am I being sent here? And the attitude they need to have is that God is faithful. This is the gospel, and carries out his promises. And he therefore gives us faith in and through Jesus to trust and follow him, even if it is to pastor a congregation which you are ignorant of and are wondering what's going to happen. So we leave these things also in God's hands, even in layman situations where they are faced to do something, maybe take a different job, maybe go to a different school, go to a different neighborhood. We need to trust God that as he leads us in these new areas, he is faithful and he will keep his promises for us. That's the gospel.
Pastor Tom Baker is host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. For almost 30 years, he met monthly to prepare his Sunday school teachers for the classroom. Tom, thanks.
And thank you.
Katie Faust is our guest. On the other side of the break, we're going to talk about how pro-life tactics can be used in defense of natural marriage. Thanks to our beloved on-demand listeners, Issues Etc. consistently ranks among the top podcasts in religion and spirituality. You can help us climb the charts by subscribing, rating, and reviewing Issues Etc. Type Issues Etc. in your podcast provider, hit the subscription button, and leave us a 5-star review. This will make it easier for podcast listeners to find Issues Etc. Help us cast Christ's net on the internet. Subscribe, rate, and review Issues Etc. today.
The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod's Life Ministry is thousands of people sharing Christ's love and mercy and giving witness to our Lord's creation of life, his design for marriage and the family, and the God-given value of all human life from conception to natural death. Working with many partners, LCMS Life Ministry sponsors human care efforts that meet the needs of body and soul and provides resources and educational events for all ages. To learn more, email lifeministry@lcms.org and visit lcms.org/life.
Grace, faith, scripture, and Christ alone. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
I hope, just by looking at some of these points, we recognize the pressure on us to be silent, but also the cost.
Dr. Albert Moeller, president of Southern Baptist Theological Seminary, making the case against Christian silence at the 2022 Issues, Etc. Making the Case Conference.
But I am fairly certain that I will one day die. If the Lord returns before I die, then to God be the glory. But I expect that one day I will die. I want to die talking.
You can watch and listen to Dr. Moeller's teaching and all of the presentations from this year's conference for a tax-deductible donation of $300 by Labor Day. It's available via on-demand video streaming or podcast. Learn more at issuesetc.org or call 618-223-8385.